Welcome to NCFM Today, a podcast about family medicine in the Old North State. I'm Kevin Latour, Communications and Membership Manager at the NCAFP, and your host for today's episode. A crucial part of professional development for family physicians is the mentorship they receive from one another. Whether this mentorship begins in medical school, residency, or later in their careers, it can certainly become helpful during their medical practice. These mentor-to-mentee relationships can provide instruction, support, and companionship that physicians of every age and stage need for their work and their health. Since our work at the Academy includes helping physicians sustain their patient care and well-being, we encourage and foster mentorship among our physician members as a key support for one another. In today's episode, you'll hear about the benefits of mentorship from three family physicians who practice and receive it. I recently got to speak with Dr. Maureen Murphy and Dr. Macy Osborne about their years of friendship and learning as a mentor and mentee. Here are the lessons and rewards of mentorship for family medicine, as these two family physicians have enjoyed them. So thank you all both for being here. What was the first interaction with the NCAFP that made you each want to get more involved?
Well, I'm older. I'll take that first. But I had a little different road to medicine. I worked at the Society of Teachers of Family Medicine in Kansas City, and so knew all about family medicine before I went to medical school. And I was at the University of Kansas, and I was promoting family medicine, but the Kansas Academy, I will say, at that time didn't welcome students. We were student members, but we didn't do anything within the academy. And so when I was a fourth year student and I was going to be coming to North Carolina, I actually was invited to a little power session with Dr. Jim Jones and Dr. Doug Henley, both past presidents of the NCAFP and both past presidents of the AAFP. It was actually Duke was trying to eliminate my residency program at that time. And so we were having a little family medicine strategy. And so those two men became my mentors and introduced me to the NCAFP. And both of them were extremely helpful to me. And the nice thing that attracted me about the NCAFP was that students were members of the board of directors, as were residents, and they were on committees, and they were listened to a bit more. I will say, I think Kansas has progressed since I left, but that was a long time ago.
So my first exposure was actually at the AAFP conference in Kansas City. So they have the student and resident conference every summer in July. And I was a member of the Oklahoma Academy of Family Physicians at the time, and they do a sponsorship program where they send you to the AAFP conference. So I had gone there, and my husband has family out here in North Carolina. We knew we'd be coming out this direction. So I met with all the North Carolina residency programs, and all of them had very good things to say about NCAFP and how big of a deal it is to be a member and to go to the winter conference in December. That was my first exposure, I guess, was to hear about it. And then I came out here for interviews, and that's all anybody could talk about along the interview trail is how awesome this conference is and how important, how big of an impact that NCAFP has for family medicine doctors in North Carolina. And I thought that was really cool. And so that made me want to be a member. And then also I'd like to get more involved, and I need to get my feet wet a little bit more as an attending before I dive in.
To get a little more specific, I mean, how did the two of y'all, you know, what was the early part of your relationship like?
I have to take this, Macy. So when Macy was applying for residency, I happened to look over her application and saw that, my God, she went to Oklahoma, which, you know, me from Kansas, I still have a heart for the Midwest. But she had been FMIG president, and she was on all kinds of committees and had done all kinds of free clinic stuff. And she was just like, you know, perfect. And I contacted Aaron Wagner, who had been a resident in our program, who was from Oklahoma. And Aaron and I are very close friends. She practices in Charlotte as a hospitalist. And I told her, I said, there's this person from Oklahoma who looks fantastic. And so, of course, Aaron got on Facebook and other things, and she figured out that she and Macy had friends in common from Oklahoma. You know, there's probably only 300 people in Oklahoma. So.
Something like that.
So she got a hold of Macy and told her that when she came out to interview, she wanted her to come stay with her and, you know, she'd meet her and all that. And then Macy did the interview, but then we got her to come back over Martin Luther King holiday, the long weekend. And I organized a dinner at Dr. Dobson's restaurant and with Macy and Aaron and their spouses and a few other residents and all. And we had a really good time, I think, didn't we? Macy and I, we actually met at that. You know, I'd heard about her through Aaron prior to that.
Yep. So we met at the restaurant. And then I think things just kind of blossomed from there because we stayed in contact through emails throughout interview season, match day. I came out to look at houses, you know, then I ended up finding out I matched here, was so ecstatic and excited because I love CFM. I thought Cabarrus Family Medicine was the perfect place for me. And I was looking for someone to kind of fill the role of my family as I moved into residency. And that was Dr. Murphy and Scott. So was really happy to have that. And then my husband and I moved from Oklahoma to North Carolina. We drove a big Penske truck and towed the car behind us. We parked it outside of Dr. Murphy's house. And that's going to live on, I think, forever in their memories and ours as the truck drivers.
She texted me and said, will we be able to turn the truck around? And I said, yeah, we're on a cul-de-sac. We'll be okay.
We're never doing that again.
Every time my husband sees a Penske truck, he thinks that PJ, her husband, is driving it. So
again, perfect image. So after that first meeting and kind of that interview process, I mean, what have you all been up to together since then?
What haven't we been up to since then? I think that's a better question. So I ended up being placed in the Mount Pleasant Clinic for residency. And so that's where I did my residency clinic, I guess, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Fridays. Dr. Murphy would precept on Tuesdays. And so I saw her just about every week and she would bring snacks and encourage me through residency. And then outside of work, we have lots of dinners. We've spent several Thanksgivings together now over the years. We go to Panthers games. She had tickets last year and we had tickets last year as well, which was a lot of fun. So lots of brunches, football games. I'm trying to think. We've done a lot of parties at her house. So she hosted my baby shower whenever I had my baby, which was pretty nice. Birthday celebrations, all of the above.
We had the rainbow cake, right? That Dr. Kim Causey made. Yeah.
Yep, and we raised some money for a good cause doing that too.
Money for Ukraine, yeah. I guess we have gone from being, applicant and recruiter kind of thing into, resident and preceptor. But I think beyond that, we've become colleagues and friends, especially now that I think Macy's graduated in practice. We still keep in touch. I'm always texting her about an interesting patient, and I think the same with her. Sometimes it's just to pick somebody else's brain about a medical thing, but oftentimes it's just like, oh my God, look at this exciting thing I saw today. Or, you know, have you ever seen that before? And it's really nice to have a colleague like that.
Yep. I sent a chest x-ray over just a few weeks ago. It was like, oh my gosh, you got to see this.
And she was one of the first ones I told about the tetanus case that we saw in clinics.
Dr. Murphy gets to be my listening ear after work sometimes on my drive home. So I've got a little bit of a commute, about 25 minutes or so. And I'll be driving home, whether it's been a long day or an interesting day or, you know, just need somebody to listen to what I have to say and guide me. I call Dr. Murphy and vent to her for a little bit. And then she gives me guidance because it's really hard as you start out as a new attending. You encounter things social aspects of medicine or the parts of medicine that aren't necessarily just diagnosing and treating that I think she's helped me a lot with over the last year or so. That's been really beneficial to have.
And I vent to her as well.
Yes.
Two-way venting, nothing like it. Okay, so y'all kind of started to touch on the next thing I was curious about hearing from you.
what you've kind of learned from one another. So Dr. Osborne, if you want to go first, I mean, with all this time that y'all have spent together, like, what do you feel like you've learned?
Yeah. So I think the easiest thing to say that I've learned from her obviously is medicine, but outside of the medicine, I think I've learned a lot of leadership qualities as well, and how to be a strong female physician in our, like in our cohort. So as a family medicine doc, how to be a good leader and to stand up for what's right. And sometimes it's not always easy, but you have to be that voice of reason and that voice sometimes to speak up for others. And I think Dr. Murphy has been that person that's really showed me that I can do that and I need to do that to better our profession and to help our patients.
And then Dr. Murphy, in turn, I mean, what do you feel like you've learned from Dr. Osborne?
One thing I've learned is I hear from some of the physicians who are my age or and somewhat younger, but that the younger generation doesn't work as hard. They haven't had it as hard as we had. They didn't have to work as many hours, and that they're not dedicated. And I think I've totally learned from Dr. Osborne that that's all bull hockey, that the younger generation is just as involved, and they are just scary smart, and they want to take care of patients just like we did. I think the thing that we can learn from them is that they work smarter than we did. We abused ourselves, you know, like I've been in the hospital for 3 days without going home and changing clothes and that sort of thing. And they don't go for that. You know, they residencies are structured a little differently. And I think when they get out and practice, they are practicing smarter and hopefully will not face some of the burnout issues that people of my generation had. So I think all of us could benefit from having a younger mentee to help us face some of those things.
Dr. Osborne, did you have something else?
I think that, you know, being a mentee for Dr. Murphy, it helps keep medicine fun too. It's so nice to just be able to call her, bounce ideas off of her. And I think she just teaches me that life's too short to not let it be awesome. She has a shirt that says, what does it say? It says family medicine doctor, because freaking awesome stuff.
Awesome. It's not an official job description.
Yeah. Yep. That's it.
And then that sort of, I mean, that outlook for you, Dr. Osborne, like, how do you feel like that has kind of helped you begin practicing now that you're on your way after residency?
That's a good question. I think that it has helped me to, one, I set boundaries, but within reason. So I've learned that I have to set boundaries for myself, for my patients, for my staff. And then to be able to still be able, like she said, work smarter. I work smarter during the daytime. And then that allows me to still enjoy what I do and to be able to have those fun conversations and not dread it later in the day.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by work smarter exactly?
So work smarter, not harder. That means that I know how, well, not know how. I'm still working on this, but working on being able to, what's the word I'm looking for when you separate out and you divvy up tasks?
Delegation?
Yes. So it's still learning that, but being able to delegate tasks to staff and to even patients and allowing them to empower themselves, that they have to take ownership and be a part of their own healthcare. I can't care more about them than they care about themselves. And so I think that a lot of this working smarter has to do with that too.
I think working smarter also means taking care of yourself, which I see you and your cohorts, you know, taking care of yourself physically by making sure you set time aside to exercise and eat correctly most of the time, but also your family. Macy has a, how old is Owen now? 16?
Yeah, about 16 months.
And you know, if Owen had an ear infection and Owen had to have tubes and, you know, she took the time to do that. And if he's sick and she stays home, she's fortunate she has a husband who's great that they can swap off and all that. But I think sometimes people in my generation just ignored some of those things and didn't have as full a life as they could.
And you touched on it, thinking generationally, Dr. Murphy, if, you know, what would you tell, you know, a physician who is interested in mentoring other physicians?
I guess I'd just do the Nike thing. Just do it. There are Definitely having a mentee, and I've got several, keeps you younger, but it also keeps you on your feet that you have to stay current with medical literature and, you know, new things. I mean, they're learning the newest and greatest in medical school and residency. And so I have to keep up with that. But it's also just good to get a different opinion from people. There are lots of opportunities for mentorship, particularly in North Carolina, if people want to do that. The NCFP has several programs with our externships and other programs there are, but also CCNC, Community Care in North Carolina, has a mentorship program that they're starting up where you don't have to physically be in the same location. Some of the mentorship is simply emailing or sending a card or doing something like that. I found that a lot of the students and residents that I've mentored like to have somebody who maybe is not directly involved in grading them, so that they can vent a little bit, you know, and it's not going to reflect negatively on them, you know, in grading or anything like that. And it's sort of like just a safe home. Like we always, when we see teenagers in the office, we're always telling them, if you know you ever have any concerns, you can always come to me. And that's sort of how I deal with medical students. And I'm encouraged other physicians in the NCAFP to consider mentoring a student. It's not going to cost you much except, you know, maybe a card, although food is always appreciated, I have found. And if you bring them chocolate chip cookies, they will come. So that's kind of, well, chocolate is a neurotransmitter, so it does help people learn.
I love it.
And then Dr. Osborne, what would you say to other, I mean, maybe students or residents or young, even young physicians interested in being mentored?
I think it's an invaluable thing to have mentors. So Dr. Murphy is probably my biggest mentor, but I have all these unofficial mentors too. And so she helped guide me on my path to finding my position after residency, that I needed to be in a place with somebody who could mentor me still. So now I have my in-person mentor here, Dr. Brent Penhall. He was also a graduate of Cabarrus Family Medicine, but he's stellar. And it's somebody that if I'm just having a tough case in clinic, I'm not totally on my own. And I can still go ask for help and be like, hey, you might come and take a look at this real quick for me. Just, you know, it's new when you're out there the first couple of years, you're learning so much. You want to make sure you're doing right by your patients. So having some unofficial mentors, I think, is super important. And then having an official mentor like Dr. Murphy, it keeps you grounded, it keeps you happy, and keeps you learning.
And Macy is now a mentor. I mean, she participated in the summer externship, had a student with her for a week, showed her kind of an exciting time with some guy being chased by the police outside her window.
Yes. Yeah, a guy got tasered outside my window when I had the med student with me.
Happens every day in practice.
Yeah, that was a great experience to mentor a student. I really like teaching and I enjoy teaching. And so it was nice to have somebody here, like a fresh set of eyes and ears to just talk to about medicine and see the joy still in her eyes about how much she loves family medicine, and really encourage her that she should become a family medicine doctor. This is what we do. We're the best.
I'm communicating with her and she's pretty set, I think.
We need more family medicine docs like Dr. Murphy. So hopefully that I can mentor some kiddos down the road and get them into our shoes.
Agreed. So thank you, first of all, for just being with the episode. And also just thank you, both of y'all, for the work you're doing, not just in the clinic, but you know, for other positions and all those to come. So I appreciate that.
I also had the chance to speak with Dr. Bayat Steiner, a family physician and professor at the UNC School of Medicine. Dr. Steiner consults with the CCNC Center for Community-Based Primary Care and NCAHEC, where he works with others to improve the pathways to rural primary care, in part through overseeing select teaching practices and rural tracks for medical students. These are the mentorship programs that train future family physicians to bring care to underserved communities. Here's what Dr. Steiner had to say about mentorship for these medical students.
Dr. Steiner, thanks for joining me today. Can you tell me about your work with the Community Care of North Carolina?
Yeah, you know, thanks so much for having me, first of all. It's an area I'm passionate about. And my work currently with Community Care really focuses on getting more physicians in communities where they're needed. And at this point in North Carolina, that is particularly rural communities, and rural communities need in particular primary care. So that's kind of my passion, and it's something that I'm really excited to talk to you about.
Great. How, in your work and as you see it, how does mentorship, especially mentorship during medical school, help grow the number of primary care physicians in North Carolina?
Yeah, you know, Kevin, it's a great question. And I think mentorship is really critical, and it's critical, we know, in North Carolina, but also in studies across the country, we've shown that. And I think it's mentorship at two different levels, and sometimes those things are worth teasing apart. So it's someone during your training that you can look up to, that you have a chance to act as a sounding board for you. I think there's also the second part of mentorship, which is role modeling good primary care, which means that you have to be in the practice to see that. And I think we do sometimes the former a little bit better because we've got great faculty at the schools in North Carolina. But actually seeing primary care done in primary care settings in rural areas particularly is a little bit more difficult sometimes. So I think really sort of fostering that area of mentorship, I think, is really, really important.
So how do you go about fostering that mentorship in those clinics directly?
Yeah, so the Academy has worked with CCNC to develop two programs, and I think the two programs are worth mentioning. So one is developing a mentorship program for medical students where they're specifically linked to physicians who practice in independent primary care. And it's not to say that mentorship for the faculty on the campuses is not great. That's really important too. But actually connect them with practicing physicians who work in rural communities. And we've had that program now for 2 years. This will be the second year coming up. And we're actively recruiting medical students and mentors in rural practices and independent practices to, and then help connect it to. Just to briefly mention the second part, we really want to have more practices teach medical students. And we're calling these practices select teaching practices because we want students who are particularly interested in primary care to be directed to those practices. And so CCNC, again, has actually taken the lead on this and developed some model select teaching practices where those students interested in primary care can really learn quality primary care and get mentorship.
What would you recommend for really anyone interested in giving mentorship to these medical students?
Yeah, you know, call us. Call you, call me. Literally, I mean, there's so many people interested in this space, and we'll get you to the right person. So if you're a practicing physician listening to this and you're interested, TouchBase will get you connected to the right person. We are currently actively recruiting students across all medical schools, and we already have a list of students who want mentorship. So just reach out to anyone at the Academy, anyone in CCNC, we'll get you to the right place.
Yeah, we will certainly help anyone interested learn just where they need to go and how they should be able to apply.
If you're interested, the specific contact is mentorship@communitycarenc.org. Dr. Steiner also told me after our interview that interested applicants can contact him directly at BEAT_Steiner@med.unc.edu.
I'll say something else, Kevin, as we wrap up. I think this is a number for many people don't know this number, but it really just makes the issue so clear. So 10 years ago, approximately, 450 students graduated from medical schools across North Carolina. That's the number, right? Duke, UNC, ECU, 450. Of those 450 students who graduated, 10 years later, they've done residency, they're out in practice. Guess how many of those students are in rural primary care in North Carolina? And the number is just astoundingly small. Many people guess 40, 50, and they think that's small. It's 6 students. and this is work done by the Shepp Center, 6 students out of 450, so it's about 1%, end up in rural primary care in North Carolina. And we've got to change that number. And it's the reason I'm talking to you today.
I agree. That's a number that needs to increase. And that's why I'm glad to hear what you're doing. That's certainly why I'm glad that the Academy is doing all we can to support those testing centers as well. So thank you, Dr. Steiner. I appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you just telling us what's going on.
Perfect. Thanks for your time.
Thanks again for tuning into this month's edition of NCFM Today. I'm today's host, Kevin Latour, and I'd like to thank the family physicians who joined me, Dr. Maureen Murphy, Dr. Macy Osborne, and Dr. Bayat Steiner. You can find NCFM Today on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, and anywhere else you listen to your favorite shows. If you like hearing from our members, make sure to like and subscribe. You can also find NCFM Today at www.ncafp.com, along with the membership, education, advocacy, and workforce resources that serve family medicine in the Old North State. Until next time, this is the North Carolina Academy of Family Physicians.